Good morning, brothers and sisters. Greetings in Christ Jesus' name. I hope we all had plenty of sleep tonight and are eager and yearning and have the desire to worship God today and actively listen to His Word and praise His name. Today I'll be talking about Christian fellowship and what the Word of God consists of. Let's all open to Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. Before we read this passage, I want to give a little context to chapter 2 of Acts. It's a little bit of a long chapter, but I just want to give a quick summary. It was the day of Pentecost, and where the apostles were gathered, a violent noise like the rushing wind came in and filled the house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues, and the word and God gave them utterance. A crowd began to form and were bewildered at what they saw because they all heard them speaking in their own language. Some were amazed, but some began to mock them, and they said, "They are full of sweet wine." But Peter, an apostle, he took a stand and told them about the prophet Joel and what he spoke of in the Old Testament. And he told them about the miracles and signs and wonders God performed through him and how Christ died and was resurrected from the grave, having been exalted to the right hand of God. Then the crowd was pierced through the heart at Peter's message, and they asked, "What should they do?" He then called them to repentance and told them about Christ. And that day, those who received the word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added. So now let's read verses 42 to 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What is fellowship? In Greek, the word koinonia is used, meaning common or shared. Bible.org says, "Fellowship is a relationship of inner unity among believers that expresses itself in outer co-participation with Christ and one another in accomplishing God's will on earth." First, true Christian fellowship is vertical, and then it translates horizontal. Vertical fellowship is fellowship with our Christ and our God and Father in heaven. And horizontal fellowship is fellowship with other believers, those who have been saved and believe in Christ. First and foremost, our fellowship with Christ is most important, and we are called to do so. Let's quickly open up to two passages from the Bible. It will be 1 Corinthians 1:9. And it says, "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." It says here, we are called to do so. And then in 1 John 1:3, "We have seen and heard, we announce to you also, in order that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." Again, it says here and emphasizes, first and foremost, that our fellowship is with our God and then with one another. Today I want to talk about Christian fellowship and what the Word of God says it consists of. But I want to point out that our Christian fellowship only exists because God the Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has established in grace a relationship with mankind. So let's look back to Acts verses 43 to 47, and we'll begin with verse 42. And it says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship." In Greek, the word for continually devoting themselves is used here. It's called praskaterons, meaning to persist, persevere in, and continue, steadfast in. That day, 3,000 souls were added unto them, and they were eagerly and had the desire to learn about the apostles' teaching. They put the time and effort into it. They persevered and were steadfast in it. It wasn't something they did as just one of their daily activities. It wasn't just something to check off as one of their routines in the morning, but they were eagerly seeking for it, and they had a yearning and desire for it, and they put their time into it. And they did this together, the apostles and the 3,000 souls that were added that day. Fellowship isn't something you go about alone. They were participating with each other. This is the real church. You share the same Lord, Jesus, the same guide for life, the same love for God, and the same desire to worship him. It then says they were also continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In remembrance of Christ's death, they continually devoted themselves to this act because it was an institution of Christ. And in Christ, in memorial of Christ's death, they made it a constant practice. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, let's open up to 1 Corinthians 10:16. 10:16, and we'll read to 17 too. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Here we go again. The word koinonia is used here, sharing, because we share the body of Christ. They share the body because they became part of the body, and to become part of the body of Christ, you have to repent and to confess your sins, become a believer in Christ, the Savior. And they also devoted themselves to constant prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God. It is an active rapport with God and through deliberate communication, something we do throughout daily and talk to God. It doesn't necessarily have to mean we have to get on our knees, but it's something that is in our mind and we communicate with him. Isn't it beautiful? This act of fellowship that was taking place, this is true fellowship at work here. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. In verse 43 of Acts, it says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles. This is the power of God at work here. If true fellowship is taking place, God's presence will be there because we are truthfully, we are eagerly worshiping and praising his name. And he will be there and his presence will be known. In verse 44, it says, and all those who believed were together and had all things in common. It says, all those who believed. So to become part of this fellowship, you have to become a believer. You have to have salvation. Without salvation, you can't partake in this act of fellowship. We have to truly repent, confess our sins, and believe in Jesus the Savior, the Messiah. Once you are saved, you share Christ with other believers. And it says they had all things in common. They shared everything, their time, their possessions. And this leads on to the next verse, which says, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. They didn't care about their possessions. They had Christ Jesus. That was their most important thing that they had in common. If anyone had any need, they began selling their property, they gave their time, they helped one another out. Anything that one person owned, it was her brothers or sisters in Christ, and they were welcome to it, just as if they were known. And verses 46 and 47, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. What does that mean, with one mind in the temple? What were they doing? They were learning from the teachings from the apostles and having fellowship with them. And it seemed like they all had one goal and one objective. And what was it? It was to praise Jesus Christ's name. And they all did it together. And they were meeting in the temple and corporately fellowshipping with Christ. They were devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. And they had all one purpose, again, was to praise and worship Christ. They also were breaking bread from house to house and taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. It's not only in the church setting that we can have fellowship with one another. It seemed as if they were out of the corporate fellowship as a church. They wanted to go to each other's house, so they invited each other so that they can share meals together. They wanted to be in each other's presence. They didn't get tired of each other. They had a yearning and a longing for it to be in each other's presence. This verse is saying you don't have to be in the church setting with fellow believers. You can do it anywhere. Just gather with others who love Christ and enjoy each other's presence. God wants us to share Christ with one another. And it says that they did this with gladness and sincerity with heart. Isn't that just beautiful? They didn't do it because they had to. They wanted to. They had this positive outlook in their heart because they first and foremost had this relationship with Christ, and that translated into their fellowship with other believers. Seems like after worship was over, they just couldn't be separated. And they did it all with gladness and sincerity of heart, which comes from a true relationship with God, our Father. And then it says they were praising God and having favor with all people. With one accord they worship God, all together as one body, which is what we are in Christ. Despite certain differences that many people had, or again, we're still all human, they all had negatives to each side, but they all had the same goal, the same important thing in life, and that was Jesus Christ. So they found favor with all people, not some, but all. They disregarded everything else but focus on Christ with each other. And the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is God's prescription for church growth. This is what he wants us to do, to partake in the fellowship. First with our Lord, and then it translates to fellowship with other believers. And we need to make sure we have all these elements of fellowship incorporated into our lives. In conclusion, the foundation of fellowship is salvation. We must truly repent, confess, and believe in Christ's Savior, that he is the Son of God, and that he came to redeem us. The nature of true fellowship is shared love, shared life, and shared possessions. We need to make sure that we are continually devoting ourselves to the Christ's teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We need to make sure we give time to one another and actively seek this fellowship with one another and be each other's presence. But we need to do it with a positive heart, with gladness and sincerity. If your brother or sister has any need, help them out. Be there for one another. So I want to end this sermon today by asking each and every one of us, after I will pray for the end of prayer hour and for breakfast today morning, that we all gather in groups of five so we can all partake in the one aspect of fellowship, which is prayer, so that we can be as one in Christ. Let's pray. Amen.